Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Vines Uniting Church. Whether you're watching us live or later on during the week on YouTube, or whether you're here in the building, we hope and pray that this service will help you deepen your relationship with God. Let's get straight into it, shall we? Please stand and sing along.
Thank you.
sunshine, for rain, and all the blessings and gifts you have bestowed on us. Bless this service this morning and help us to open our eyes and ears to the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Adrian suggested, requested that it would be a good idea to give you an update on where we are with the pantry. So just got a few notes here so that I don't miss anything. On Wednesday, four of us came over here and completely emptied those big tall cupboards out in the room out there. So we now have big tall cupboards that we would like to have filled with food. So apart from the little note about specific things to bring for Sunday, anything is welcome. But remember, if you bring a tin that isn't a ring pull, it needs to be accompanied by a can opener. Which it sounds a bit funny, but for people who are homeless, how do they open a can without a can opener? So we're really now at the point of any non-perishable foods will be very gratefully received. And I think we will go back to those foods that are brought on Sunday morning being brought down to the altar for prayerful consideration of what it will mean to people who receive these gifts. And a strange sort of request, the plastic bags that you get when you get apples and oranges, etc., at the supermarket, we would love you to keep those and bring those along as well, because we have connected with organisations like Food Bank and Oz Harvest and Fruit Share, who will bring us those items and will need to be packaged if we're going to give them away. At this stage, we're planning to be open on Wednesday mornings, hoping to launch in September, beginning of September. And I just invite you to think prayerfully about how you might be able to be involved in being a person that somebody can walk in off the street, needing food, but going away with a sense of love and care. So if you feel inclined, we'll have a training session on what that means, because it's a little bit involved, there's paperwork and stuff. But by the same token, it would be a wonderful ministry to people who sometimes come and get a food parcel and then race out the door. And there's no story, there's no prayer, there's no care. Not that this is about prayer, this is about listening. And so it is just simply about inviting people to come in, get the food that they need, a friendly voice, maybe a cup of coffee, and go away feeling that they have been blessed. So any conversation with any of you will be very gratefully listened to.
Adrian. Can I just mention one more thing too before Malcolm does? And I don't know whether Marge was going to mention it or not. Who shops at Drake's? If you shop at Drake's have an app. Everything's got an app these days. But the Vines is now registered as a group that you can support through your purchases at Drake's. And I can't remember the amount of money, but every time you spend in Drake's and you scan the app, you can direct that support to the Vines. It builds up over a year, and I think they pay it out once a year. So keep that in mind. You need to find the Vines Uniting Church in the app, which takes a bit of searching, but let's encourage you to do that, because it'll raise some more money for the pantry. Thank you.
Regarding this afternoon's concert, I quote from a busker on Circular Quay who said to his listeners, a gold coin donation will be gratefully received, but please fold your money carefully. And thank you, Adrian, because you gave thanks for the sun and the rain, but not the wind.
We probably should mention with that wind that came on Friday, we had a tarp, sort of a shade cloth up. It had a tiny little tear in it on Friday morning. When we woke up Saturday morning, it was completely torn in half and is now flinging loose, so we didn't take it down this afternoon. So that's how strong the wind basically was. But we all know, because we all lived through it. So every day, God gives us and blesses us with everything we have in our pockets, everything we have in our home. Our homes, even, He blessed us with that. And every Sunday, we have an opportunity to give a little bit back for the furthering of His kingdom. It's time for our offering, and we're going to sing I Am Carried as the offering song.
Oh,
Thank you, gracious and merciful God, for grace-scarred hands that are healing hands, that are giving hands, that are thanking hands. May our hands be expressions of Jesus Christ in all that we do. Please receive our thanks. Amen.
When we're in the depths of a wet and cold and windy weather, or winter, with long nights and short days, it's easier often to focus on our own comfort than to look outward and to not only see the needs of others, but to hold their hands as God holds us in his hands as we help to meet those needs. And when we're tired and worn out, and when we hear of people with serious illnesses that are taking a long, long time to recover, and when we've had a week which has been filled with the trauma of car crashes and gun violence, then we'd really like to curl up and hibernate, to wait until the warmth of spring and summer, or to head north for the winter, as we hope for renewed energy and warmth and more joyful news. But today's what it is. We're here. The weather and the news haven't changed. We still know of hurting people and sad situations. And so we can come to God for God's ongoing love and God's deep compassion for hurting people and sad situations remains. Because God gives us a vision of the hope and the healing and the joy that is not only what is to come, but is here now. God inspires us to look beyond the darkness and to see life in all its fullness. God inspires us to ask for more. More healing, more hope, more compassion, and more help for those who desperately need comfort and practical assistance. We are inspired, that is, to pray. To ask God for help, not only for us, but also for others. And so before I lead you in prayer, I invite you to invest a few moments of time in silently thinking about the people and the situations that have a need for prayer. We'll end by saying the Lord's Prayer together, a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. The words will be on the screen. Please join me in prayer. God of deep compassion, today we think of people who are doing it tough. For the homeless, we ask you to help us to respond with practical, or to their practical needs, with the warmth of shelter and adequate clothing. They might have regular hot meals and friendly faces who listen without judgment. Help us to be generous in giving our time and our resources, for they are the needs. Now, Lord, what can we do to help make a difference? God of love, we pray for people whose bodies are tired from the ravages of age, from the effects of trauma, and from the stresses of daily life. We pray that those who have tired and aging bodies may receive comfort from good friends, assistance from the skills of medical professionals, and hope-filled reassurance that even death is not the end for people of faith. Open our hearts and our eyes and our arms and hands as we journey together with those who hurt. Help us to listen first and to hear their real needs. And then help us to act like Jesus, bringing healing and love. God of the world, help us to see beyond our immediate horizons. Help us to be fully informed, not just about our immediate family and neighbours, but also about the strangers with whom we engage as citizens of a connected world. Help us to look beyond what we see in the not-so-social social media, which feeds us more and more of the same things, reinforcing and entrenching our ideas and leading often not to unity, but division. So speak to us, God, in ways that open us up to what you want for the people, for all the people of this planet, even and especially when we find those other ideas confronting. For you love us, all of us, equally. So bring peace where there is division. Bring hope where there is despair. Encourage us to love the unlovely, to accept those who are different, and to model lives that inspire faith in others. Lord, what would this mean for each of us? And how can we be signs and examples of the love that Jesus has for all humanity? And God of love, we pray for your church. Help us to remember that we are the church, the body of Christ, with all our differences in form and expression, but united in our faith in the risen Christ. So set us free from petty arguments. Open us to renewal and encourage us to embrace new opportunities with confidence. So equip us with both excellent leadership and the courage to make mistakes and not be destroyed. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves not as customers of the church, but as staff. Guide us so we are passionate contributors to the work of the church rather than passive consumers of church. Take from us any tendencies to be critical and fill us with abundant encouragement. We pray particularly for the gifts of faith and love that will help us individually and collectively to connect with the communities around us so that people see Jesus in and through each of us. And God, lest we be so overwhelmed by the many needs that each of us has and the many needs that the people of this world have, remind us, we pray, of your immense compassion for us so we can also see joy during darkness and hurt. Help us to see a little child at play and to laugh with them. Help us to see a flower and be filled with awe at the beauty of God's creation. Help us to see a rainbow and know that God's promises are always present. Help us to rejoice with someone who discovers or rediscovers faith and hope through forgiveness from Jesus. Bring us your healing, we pray, and encourage us to share our faith with others, perhaps beginning with just one person this week. these are our prayers, O God. We ask them in and through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 40. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, You give them something to eat. They said to him, Well, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, Five and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Then verses 54 to 56. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning I felt that I really needed to give a member of the congregation warning that my sermon was well developed on Monday, which was before I paid a pastoral visit. I have people who say to me at times, you were talking about me this morning, weren't you? And whenever they say that, I think there must have been something special happening that they got a focal point. These readings touch on a number of areas of Jesus' ministry. Prior to the reading, John the Baptist is beheaded. Some commentators don't like the word beheaded, they say murdered, which would be accurate. It was just an ego boost. But this event, the death of John the Baptist, cast a shadow over all that Jesus and his disciples were doing. And they were tired emotionally, we can imagine, spiritually, physically. And Jesus says to them in verse 31 of that chapter, come away to a deserted place and rest a while. Many people were coming to Jesus for healing, for teaching, for comfort, for all sorts of things. We can probably identify times when we just wish people would go away. How many of you are brave enough to put your hand up to that one? Yeah. Don't chicken out. Just leave me alone. I need a break. They hadn't had time to eat. And so we identify with this busy life and its demands. And the demands of our lives involve death and grief and trial and torment and joy and tears of joy and tears of sadness and physical exertion. And yet, within our workplaces, where we were or where we now are, so often the question is asked, why do people refuse to take a rest? We have a friend, very dear friend, whose husband just hates holidays. He's never been on a holiday. He doesn't want to go on a holiday. He stays home and works on the farm. So his wife takes a holiday and she goes off with her friends or family members and has a holiday. And he stays at home. And he can't see how important his effort to have a break for himself is important for his wife to have a break as well. That this is part of marriage and supporting each other, loving each other, caring for one another, and reading the signs. And saying to husband, wife, partner, sorry to use this word, love, but you look a bit of a wreck. What can we do that'll help you to feel better? Can we go out for a meal? Can we go and visit special friends? Can we take a holiday, just a weekend off? But life is busy, isn't it? Life is demanding. Someone's got to do the job. It's my job. I have responsibilities. I can't do this. Now, I told you part of my story where I was landing in hospital with monotonous regularity. And I very seriously considered resignation. And I'm glad I didn't. So Jesus encouraged his disciples to opt out of the rat race. Yes, they had rat races in Jesus' time, and the winner of a rat race then was the same as the winner of a rat race today. A rat. He called his disciples to care for themselves, not to respond to every call for help and say, yes, I'll do that, I can do that. The disciples weren't God. And if you haven't heard it lately, neither are you and nor am I. We're not saviours. And we're not rescuers. You know, one of the great sins of Christian people and helpers is that we develop a sense of rescuing people. And we're not here to rescue. Although there are lots of images of, oh, remember that old song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying? We're really not rescuers. We're there to stand by, to stand with, to be with, to care for people, and that costs. We can pay a high price for being lovers, for being carers, for being those who stand alongside. And with the homeless issues that we have in our community, we need Christians who are quite capable and willing to stand, to sit in the gutter with someone and talk to them. We are limited human beings. We need a rest, and we need to face human realities as well as spiritual realities. We're called to be a transformed and a transforming community. The text that is a very regular one on church notice boards is John chapter 3, verse 3, which you all know. Come on. You must be born again. You must be born again. How many times? Once? Twice? I have a very strong conviction, born out of my life's experience, that being born again is an ongoing experience in our lives. It's not just one off and I'm okay for the rest of the term of my life. That there are times when I need to step back, be alone, go on a retreat, head off, do whatever, which offers me the experience of being born again. Again. Is that good grammar? Of being born again. Restoration. I've found that going to retreats have been some of the born-again experiences in my life. Retreats have been so restorative to me. You see, God, the God that we serve, the God that we worship, is the God of the second chance and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the 976th and so on. He's the God of another chance. Some of you know or have been introduced to this already.
I think when I looked at this, first of all, this didn't start off looking like this. It might have been a shabby piece of timber somewhere, just thrown to one side. And for it to become what it is today, so it's nice to see something change into beauty from what it was originally.
Well, when I was looking at it from down there, I thought, oh, someone's painted all these lovely lines all up it. And when I came and had a closer look, though, I thought, oh, that's just a grotty piece of wood that's been made to look beautiful. And it's even got bits missing out the top. So it's not perfect, but it is beautiful and perfect in what it is.
When I first looked at this, what came to my mind was the value of cherishing things that are perhaps not beautiful, cherishing things that have aged well, cherishing things that have been loved. And it's a lesson that I learned from Mother Teresa and her cherishing of the men and women in Calcutta. She said that was the most important thing. More important than food was love, and that's that.
Malcolm, I wasn't quite sure where my mind was going with this because lots of things came, but I saw it as a story of life. In life, we can't always determine what's going to happen to us. And sometimes we bear scars that are deep down, don't necessarily show on top like this, but the scars are there. And despite those scars sometimes that come upon us, we can learn from them, and perhaps something, going back to Mother Teresa, something beautiful for God might come out of those experiences we have.
It was valuable to me. And it was valuable to other people. Judy and I were in the Yungala range, and we found a gallery in a private home. And I saw that up on the top of the shelf, and it was a bit dusty. And I said to Judy, I want that. And she said, what on earth for? I said, it is beautiful. I just saw it, and I knew I had to have it. And I won the argument. Judy's fallen in love with it too. This is made out of spotted gum, and so you would appreciate that it's quite heavy, very hard timber. There was a bridge in the Yungala range that had been condemned and was going to be destroyed, and in the destruction of it, a lot of the timbers would have been wrecked and not useful for anything else. So a wood turner went to the council and said, how much of that wood can I have? I'll pull it off myself, but I want the wood, and told the story. Take as much wood as you like, and they gave him an end date. And beyond that date, we come back and we do the demolition. So that's the underside of the planks on the bridge. That's the top side of the planks of the bridge. Well and truly weathered. And there is a beautiful piece of art. And several of you picked that up, didn't you? How something beautiful can come out of something quite ordinary or even ugly. And I was rereading some of my material yesterday afternoon, and I read about a tree that you've probably heard about. Are you familiar with the bunya pine? The bunya pine that was discovered up in the Blue Mountains? It's very rare. It's a real ancient tree. Well, there's been one on a roundabout in Newcastle for a long, 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 long time, and they decided things needed to change and the tree had to go. Well, there was a bit of a protest about that, but the tree had to be chopped down. So a guitar maker went to the council and said, I need that tree because bunya pine is an excellent guitar making material when you make your next guitar. And so the council chopped down the tree and delivered two huge logs to the guitar maker. Keep him in guitars for the rest of his life. The timber that they've given him is sufficient for 500 guitars. What are the multiples of goodness and beauty that can grow out of our lives and our faith if we have good self-care, spiritually, emotionally, and physically? What is the multiple of ministries that we can effectively exercise when we care for ourselves? The guitar maker claimed the right of that tree to experience some sort of restoration. The wood turner up in the Yungala Range, inland from Mackay, believed that the decking planks on that bridge deserved another chance. And we all need second chances, and third and fourth and whatever. And sometimes we reach a point in our lives of ugliness. Now, I'm not describing any of you here as ugly. I'm thinking of people outside this church. We all reach a point of ugliness. And sometimes we might even say, well, I feel so rotten. I feel unloved. I feel useless. I feel unhappy. I'm not too sure whether the nodding heads are because people are agreeing with me or going to sleep. What is it? Obviously, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. And I know what I mean. Because there are times when I need to rest and recover. There are times when aspects of my life need to be renewed. They need to be enlivened. They need to be polished. They need to have a few ugly bits turned off. And I need to be changed. I didn't have that word in my notes. some of those ugly parts of my life need to be addressed. And you would be amazed at this, that even at my age, I haven't reached perfection. I haven't. Where do Judy and I feel most in a place of restoration? Out back, out in the bush. When we were on patrol, we often camped out bush away from stations because we needed a break. And we would walk out onto an old gravel road. We walked many kilometres at night. We carried torches, even though there was moonlight a lot of the time, but sometimes there are other creatures on the road at night that are not a good idea to encounter. But we love being out bush. We love being in the mountains. What else do we love? We built a house there in the middle of 9 acres of rainforest. And we came from there to here. It was necessary. And we do what we've done throughout our lives, being school teachers and moving around, being a minister and moving around. We said right from the start, wherever we land is home. Wherever we land is home. And while we miss the rainforest, we don't weep ourselves to sleep at night because we're not there. Our home's not there. Our home's down at Seaford Rise. That's our home. And Judy's turned a backyard and a front yard full of kaikuyu into a beautiful garden that the neighbours admire, and they keep complimenting Judy on her beautiful garden. And some people, they're even so silly as to suggest that I was the gardener. You must be born again. And sometimes that being a born again follows the command which Jesus gave to his disciples, saying, let's come away together. Let's get away. It didn't work perfectly, did it? The crowds could move more quickly around the lake than they could row across it. But let's get away and rest and recuperate. Refresh. Lose some of the old bumps and bruises. Go through some healing. Experience some new hopes. And get a new smile and spirit in our lives. We are limited human beings. And regardless of what motor vehicle we drive, it needs a service, doesn't it? So do we. We need a service. We need renewal. And if we are not in the process of renewal throughout our lives, what have we to offer to anybody else? Not much. Not much. Let's go to a quiet place and pray. Let the Spirit speak to us that we may offer our own prayers. Just check who's on your right-hand side, the closest person to you on your right-hand side. And that person might be actually a bit behind or in front. Pray for that person. Now let's pray for the person on our left. And now let's pray for someone who really needs space, healing space for body, mind, and spirit. And Lord, we lay ourselves before you. Call us in, call us out, call us over, call us, and especially call us to a healing transformation by being in our quiet places. Amen.
Just before we go on, something that came to my mind when you were talking about the piece of wood that was turned. I was reminded of a story. I don't know if any of you know the story, Touch the Master's Hand. And the violin that was being put up for auction, people were bidding on it, $1, $2, $3. And then a gentleman came from the back, cleaned off the dust, tightened up the strings, played it and made beautiful sounds. Suddenly the bidding was in the thousands for this violin. The story of it is every person we know is battered and scarred from sin. And it takes a touch of the Master's hand, the Father, to come in and help cleanse us and make us worthy again and worth a lot more than what we were. We, here in this congregation, are the masters to those people out there. God cannot do it himself. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears. It's up to us to help those people out there to know that touch of the Master's hand. Our next song is the servant song. Let's sing that with a thought of prayer, of asking our brothers and sisters to let us serve them. That's what we're here to do.
Thank you.
give the benediction. Anyone who'd like to have a closer look at the wood turning, you're welcome. I'd prefer you not to handle it and pass it around. I would hate it to be dropped, especially on a toe, because it is heavy and we treasure it. Let us go into the world in peace. Be brave, take hold of what is good. Never pay back wrong for wrong. Support the weak and the downhearted. Give encouragement to everyone. And may the peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Praise God from